Now, this is the bomb, see? And the plane's up there. Over the target. Bombs away! Boom! See? That's all there is to it.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The National Hour. This is a mirror of public opinion, reflecting what America and the world are thinking, planning, saying, doing. This is today's interpretation of the problems and the newsworthy milestones we must reach and pass on the road to peace and reconstruction. Today, June 23rd, 1946, we present the 32nd in the distinguished NBC series, The National Hour. Our subject for today.
Prologue to A-Day.
The plans and the preparations for the world's first peacetime atomic bomb detonation.
The story of these preparations and plans is our subject for today.
Prologue to A-Day.
This is Robert St. John in New York. Now in the last days of June, the world waits for the greatest single experiment in all history. In the month of July, some clear sunny day, two atomic bombs will be detonated in the lagoon of Bikini Atoll. For the first time, man will be able to record and study on a massive scale the deadly power of atomic energy. The National Hour today will be devoted to the background and the elements of the first atom bomb test, Test Able.
This is Robert McCormick in Washington. To bring into focus the final packed days before A-Day, NBC's correspondent Ralph Howard Peterson reports by shortwave from Kwajalein, interviewing three of the most important men assigned to the operation to Operation Crossroads. The three are the pilot and bombardier of the bombing plane and the weatherman, who will give the signal that the skies are clear for bombs away. We are standing by.
Is there anything else you want me to pack, Al?
Just my shaving kit. I'll throw that in the morning. Thanks, Rose.
I just don't understand it.
What, honey?
Every family around here where the husband was in the service is settling down now to some real kind of life. But not us.
Now, Rose, I explained that already. I'm still in the Navy, and I got orders to go. They found out I spent most of my life on a farm, and I know about animals. And they picked me, just like that.
I still don't get it. What's knowing about animals got to do with being there when they set off an atom bomb?
Well, that's what I don't know yet either, but I'll find out soon enough. Now, look, baby, this is the most important mission I was ever on. I'll be right on the spot when that thing goes off in the Pacific. I'll be right at the ringside.
Sure, Al. Sure, I'm glad for your sake, but the girls will think I'm crazy when I tell them. Imagine sending a farmer out for a job like that.
By now, Al knows why they wanted a farmer. It was to tend the livestock to be used as guinea pigs in the Bikini test. Well, as we stand here on the threshold of this experiment in destruction, it seems rather hard to believe that it was only 11 months ago, 11 months since the world we knew changed.
As a result of the labors of the Manhattan District Organization, a weapon has been developed that is potentially destructive beyond the wildest nightmares of the imagination. A weapon so ideally suited to sudden, unannounced attack that a country's major cities might be destroyed overnight by an ostensibly friendly power.
In the months of July and August 1945, three atom bombs were loosed. One for experimental purposes at Alamogordo, New Mexico. Two for destructive purposes over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. And the world we knew changed. Over all our plannings, domestic and foreign, hovered the tremendous question mark of the atom bomb.
Why, sure, it's easy to sit here at the Navy Club over a couple of drinks and say it's not too late yet.
No, Mason, I've thought about this atom proposition quite a bit, and it's still not too late.
Well, what's your idea, Roscoe?
Well, simply this. If all the nations wanted to, they could still get together and say, let's do away with it. Let's outlaw it from the face of the earth.
That's a pretty dream, Roscoe, but it won't happen. Not after 5 years of work and billions of dollars. Maybe it could have happened before Nagasaki, but not now anymore. Not now.
Okay, Commander. Then you and I and a few thousand other guys better look around for some new jobs.
What do you mean?
I mean the atom bomb makes the Navy and Army as obsolete as a bow and arrow.
In Washington, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, with the approval of the President, planned and announced the greatest single experiment in all history. The experiment was to be conducted by a joint Army-Navy-Civilian task force and was placed under the command of Vice Admiral W.H.P. Blandy. This news was high priority in the nation's attention.
Why is this particular operation needed, Admiral? Didn't the first three bombs give us enough information?
The Alamogordo detonation was little more than a laboratory test. In Nagasaki and Hiroshima, our scientists arrived on the scene sometime after the blasts. They had to rely on much hearsay evidence.
Is the test to be strictly a Navy show, Admiral?
Not at all. We hope to find out for the first time what the atomic bomb will do to planes in the air, to tanks, artillery, clothing, rations, and other military equipment.
Well, what about specific plans? Is there anything further you can tell us on that score, Admiral?
Well, all I can say at present is that this peacetime operation can approach the complexity of any recent campaign of Nimitz, or Eisenhower, or Halsey. Before we're through, we may find that Operation Crossroads is really Operation Headache.
From the day the tests were proposed, objections sprang up from many sources, from nuclear scientists, from anti-vivisection groups, from editorial writers, from members of Congress.
And so I want to be placed on the record. I'm dead set against the proposed atom bomb test.
But, Doctor, would you prefer that we scientists stayed out of this experiment completely?
I can only say this. The scientific results gathered from the Alamogordo, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki bombings are conclusive enough to show what would happen to ships if an atom bomb were detonated just above or on the surface of the sea. No further experiment of this sort is needed.
Would you read that list again, Captain?
Certainly, madam. 200 goats, 200 pigs, approximately 4,000 white rats, and 400 small animals.
We see no justification for subjecting animals to such a cruel and heartless experiment. Can't you use instruments to test the effects of this terrible power?
That's what we had planned originally, but on the advice of scientists, we are including these animals.
Oh, really?
It's the closest way we can get to studying the effects on humans. Our primary concern is to protect American lives now and in the future.
Captain, my organization feels that if the saving depends on the willful torture of defenseless animals, no life is worth it.
As a member of Congress, in these disturbed times, I consider the potential destruction of part of our fleet a reckless extravagance, regardless of the results. No.
Will the congressman yield to a comment?
I yield.
The ships in question are all old, obsolete, and ready for the junk pile.
In which case, I say that the use of these ships would prove little. If we really must see the effects of this terrible weapon upon our Navy, then by all means, let us use the most modern, up-to-date ships as targets.
And from Joint Task Force One came an answer to the continuing objections.
Theory and paperwork can no more substitute for an actual test of the bomb on naval targets than book learning and lectures can replace practice firing runs in training a gun crew.
As the site for Operations Crossroads, a dozen possible spots in the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Caribbean were considered and rejected. Finally, Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands was chosen as the site for Test Able and Test Baker of Operations Crossroads.
And from Bikini to Washington, in ports from the Atlantic to Pearl Harbor, in factories throughout the nation, at laboratories and flying fields from Tennessee to New Mexico, the preparations were being pieced together. The targets began to move toward the rendezvous point.
Hey, Chef, you better keep an eye on that tub of spaghetti.
It's under control, don't worry. You just take care of that salad you're working on, Georgie boy.
When are you going to show me about them ships?
What ships?
Don't you remember? That article from the magazine you borrowed off the ensign. About the way they were going to set up them ships out there in Bellini.
Bikini, stupid.
Okay, so it's Bikini. So what's going to be out there?
In the lagoon, there's going to be 100 ships moored. It's going to be the target.
What kind of ships?
All kinds. 5 battleships, 2 aircraft carriers, 4 cruisers, then some destroyers, subs, and attack transports.
Boy, what a target.
They won't be all together dopey. They'll be spread out. Look. Let me show you the setup. Now take this tub of spaghetti.
Yeah?
That marks the spot where the bomb's supposed to blow up a few hundred feet over.
Okay. And what ship's that going to be?
That's the Nevada. She'll be painted red orange so the bombardier can't miss her.
Uh-huh.
Now, this pot of meat sauce here.
Yeah?
That's the Saratoga. Just about here.
Oh, you're doing it roughly, huh?
Yeah, roughly. Now, these knives, they're the subs. They'd be scattered around something like this. See?
Yeah, I get it.
Now, I set up these pots and pans all around the range, like this. One here, another one here, another one there.
How about over here, huh? Can I put one here?
Okay. Just a little more to your left now.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. All right, now that's the setup. Now, the bomb is going to come in at about 30,000 feet, and he's going to drop that egg right over wait a minute. Give me that box of paprika, will you?
Oh, yeah. Here you are.
Now, this is the bomb, and the plane's up there.
Yeah?
Over the target. Bombs away. Boom. See? That's all there is to it.
Very interesting. Oh, and say, Chief, don't look now, but the Nevada's boiling over.
The target ships are the core and the heart of Test Able, Operation Crossroads. But two elements are still unaccounted for, the bomb and the crew to drop the bomb.
We of the Manhattan Project are responsible to the Joint Chiefs of Staff for supplying the 3 bombs for the 3 tests. All we can reveal at the present is that the bomb will be of the same type as that dropped in Nagasaki.
We have now seen the target provided and the bomb, but the crew to drop the bomb over that target, the B-29 bunch that on each hour of Test Able Day will climb to 30,000 feet, make the passes over the target, and drop the bomb so it will explode at X 100 feet directly over the bullseye, that crew, for a time, remained a question mark.
I remember it was early last January that my whole crew received orders, taking us from the ETO to Roswell Field, New Mexico, to headquarters Task Group 1.5. We were one of 17 crews picked from all the theaters. The crew of the Enola Gay that laid the egg on Hiroshima was there, and that gives you an idea. Right from the start, the colonel made things clear.
Gentlemen, you have been brought together here because we are interested in learning all we can about the techniques of flying when carrying and delivering the atom bomb. Our 509th Atom Bombing Group is the only outfit in the world that has flown the atom bomb. And I don't hesitate to say that the job is a tricky one. You men are the cream of the Army Air Forces, but you will have to do experimenting in tactics, crew training and flying to reach a point...
The colonel's speech should have been a warning, but we had no real idea till we started in. It was teamwork and precision all the way. Precision and maintenance, flying and bombing. Day after day, we flew and dropped the concrete pumpkins.
After a simulated bomb run, make a fast turn. Angle of bank, 60 degrees plus. Amount of turn, 150 degrees. Time for turning, 28 seconds. Keep practicing it.
We kept at it, and we kept at it.
Tower to Dogface, tower calling Dogface. You were too wide on that turn. Try it again, try it again. Too slow on the getaway, much too slow. Start your run from the beginning again. Start from the beginning and follow through.
The testing and sifting went on and on. In May, four crews moved to Kwajalein to continue the elimination contest. That contest was just finished. Three crews were in the final test to determine just who would be the pilot who would ease the 67-ton plane over the target and the lad whose thumb will press the button of the bomb release.
In theory, the problem of dropping a bomb from an aircraft is relatively simple. But the practical job is extremely difficult because of the tremendous demands it makes upon human judgment and coordination.
As an air operations analyst, have you any figures concerning the odds that face that bombardier?
Yes, I have. In order to be 90 to 95% certain of dropping the atomic bomb within 500 feet of a given point, a bombing crew must be expert enough to be able to place 50% of its bombs within approximately 250 feet of the aiming point. Now, this means that the bombardier has to judge the time of release within 1/2 second. Of course, the plane must be on exactly the prescribed course and at precisely the correct altitude.
So it's more than just getting the bomb up there and letting it drop.
Much more. For instance, it's the wind at the dropping altitude, the winds at intermediate altitudes, and the ballistic properties of the bomb. A slightly bent fin can result in an error of several hundred feet. All these rigid requirements must be met by the coordinated effort of the entire bomber crew under conditions of high nervous tension. And the average time of this coordination must be 1/2 second.
And now for a sampling of that last tense hours on Kwajalein for interviews with members of Air Group 1.5 and with members of the crew of the bombing plane, we take you by way of San Francisco to Ralph Howard Peterson.
This is Ralph Howard Peterson speaking from Kwajalein. Here on the tiny Pacific island of Kwajalein, an island about a mile and a half long and a half a mile wide, are some of the best pilots, bombardiers, and navigators of the Army Air Forces. For 4.5 months, these highly trained airmen have been training for one mission, to drop an atomic bomb over Bikini Lagoon. Here with me are Major Woodrow P. Swanstead of Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, pilot of Dave's Dream, and his bombardier, Major Harold H. Wood of Bordentown, New Jersey. Major Swanstead, you've been selected as the pilot to drop the atomic bomb on Able Day. Now, how does it feel to be the chosen pilot?
It's quite an honor and a little bit of a strain. However, after 4 months of training, we're all set. We have one more dress rehearsal, but as far as I'm concerned, we're ready for Able Day when they call it.
And the bombardier, the man who attempts to drop the atom bomb on the Nevada, well, how do you feel about it, Major Wood?
Well, like Woody, I'm as close to being set as I can be. We don't expect any trouble, and if the weather holds out, we shouldn't have any difficulty at all.
Well, at the time of the drop, the bombardier will have the final say. Is that correct, Major Swanstead?
Yes, the bombardier has to be satisfied before we drop the bomb. It's my job to get the plane where it should be, on time and on the correct course. I'll handle the plane the way the bombardier wants it.
Major Wood, you were a bombardier with the 8th Air Force during the war. Did you ever have a precision job like this over Germany?
No, this is the greatest precision job I've ever had. During the war, we had what might be called area bombing, where we had to hit a fairly large target. But this job is really putting a bomb in a pickle barrel.
That's true of my experience also. Our targets on Japan during the war never required such precision bombing, but I believe that we can put the bomb well within 200 yards of Nevada as required. As Major Wood says, we don't expect any difficulty. So there's one thing I'd like to point out. There's more to this flight than Major Wood and myself. It's a matter of teamwork, all the way from the ground crew up.
That's right. The navigator, the radar man, and the rest of the crew are as necessary to this operation as the bombardier. They are the ones who get us to the target, and they are as anxious for success as we are.
Well, thank you, Major Swankert and Major Wood. And now, here is Colonel William H. Blanchard, commanding officer of the 500th and 9th Composite Group from which the A-bomb crew was chosen, Colonel Blanchard.
Well, this selection was really a tough assignment. Any one of the four crews who wound up in our competition could do a job the Army Air Forces would well be proud. The decision was a close one. And the reconnaissance certainly went to 15 rounds. Our whole operation staff watched every practice drop and every practice bomb run, keeping the most accurate records of their performance. I think Major Wood probably remembers me sitting practically on his shoulders one day, watching him over his bomb sight. I was watching his coordination and to see if it rattled him. This is the steadiest crew I've ever seen. They come up like champions at the finish to win the call. And I'm sure that they'll perform like champions on the big day.
And now back to National Hour in the United States.
To give a measure of completeness to our report on the prologue to A-Day, we must now indicate the possibility that Test Able may not take place at all. Task Force plans name July 1st as the first probable date. That will be next Sunday evening here, but this event is completely in the lap of the weather. According to the meteorologists, whose particular headache this is...
1 out of every 5 days in July should be right for this test, according to the averages. That makes 6 possible days.
But suppose only 3 good days come through and these all together at the end of the month.
In order to set Able Test Day, we must have a favorable forecast 24 hours in advance. If no satisfactory forecast can be made by the 20th of July, then Test Able will not take place.
It will be called off for good, sir?
Yes. Our supplies can support the task force for 1 month, including the trip home. If Test Able is canceled, we shall proceed with Test Baker, which will involve detonating a barge-moored bomb at or below the surface of the ocean in the midst of the target area.
Under the great cloudy question mark of the weather, Joint Task Force 1 is now practically completely assembled in the lagoon of Bikini Atoll. The first dress rehearsal has already been canceled on account of weather. Another dress rehearsal date must now be selected. But to get the story from the man who looks to the skies for perfect conditions on test day, we return again to NBC's Ralph Howard Peterson, reporting to us from the Pacific by way of San Francisco.
Here is Colonel Ben G. Holzman of Los Angeles, California, senior weatherman for Operation Crossroads.
Weather conditions will play a dominant role in the tests of atomic energy against naval vessels. This is a controlled experiment, but of course we can't control the weather. All we can do is forecast it. The task of predicting weather for an operation such as this is far different from predicting weather for, say, tomorrow's picnic. Our joint Army and Navy meteorologists are attempting to predict cloud and wind conditions up to 60,000 feet from the surface into the stratosphere. Due to the scientific aspects of the test, it is essential to predict the amount of clouds in tents. On A-Day, we will have to forecast the amount of low, middle, and high cloud layers over Bikini. What you might call a beautiful day back in the States, a day with a few wispy clouds, might not be a good day to drop the bomb. These clouds could easily obstruct the bombardier's view, and he will not drop the bomb until he has an unobstructed view of a target ship.
Well, Colonel Holzman, what about wind conditions? They, too, had to be just right for the test.
That's right. Winds are as important as clouds. On July 1st, we may get only a small amount of cloud. But if the winds are not right, we can't drop the bomb.
Well, Colonel, you were one of the Allied weathermen who forecast for D-Day at Normandy. Is Operation Crossroads a more difficult assignment?
Well, not exactly. They are both very similar from our standpoint. I must admit, however, that we've had to learn some new angles about tropical weather conditions. But with our Army and Navy weather experts, we hope to we can recommend the 1st of July as a day to drop the bomb. Like everyone at the moment, we are doing a little finger crossing.
And now back to the National Hour in the United States.
Now, for the time that remains to this program, let's look a few days into the future, toward the day favored by the weather as Able Day.
On Able Day minus one, the evacuation of Bikini is begun according to plan. The thousands of chemists, engineers, and physicists make their last-minute checks. Thousands of men in the skeleton crews of the 100 sitting ducks prepare to abandon ship. They carry out their last-minute tasks and gather their gear.
On board the target ship Pennsylvania is set up an electric metronome before a live microphone. To the radio listening world, the sudden stopping of that metronome will be the first indication that the bomb has exploded.
It is now the morning of Able Day. A super fortress has taken off from Kwajalein 215 miles to the southeast. It climbs to 30,000 feet and begins its run over the target.
And at a how hour minus 10 minutes, the commanding officers of all ships within 30 nautical miles of Bikini Atoll assemble topside, all hands not required below decks.
2 minutes to actual release time.
On board the ships, the safety order is given.
Now hear this. All hands will face port away from the direction of the blast. Those who have no special safety goggles will look down at the deck, shut their eyes, and cover closed eyes with bended arm against face. You will carry on this way until the flash has been announced.
1 minute to actual release time. On the subject, Prologue to A-Day, our documentary is closed.
But this is Robert St. John inviting you to listen to the National Hour again next Sunday when we will bring you, direct from Bikini, the last-minute preparations for dropping the atom bomb.
This has been the National Hour. From our studios in New York and Washington, and from Kwajalein Island and Bikini Atoll, we have brought you the 32nd of this series of current affairs and national problems. Robert St. John was your narrator, with Robert McCormick reporting from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.